Now. Sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
We're sports show radio hosts.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
If he can throw his bullpen and he's ready to go, I don't rule him out to pitching on Saturday. But if he can't, then, you know, we got BJ, we got Hector, and we'll make a decision.
I can't keep my hands to myself.
What a joke.
Can't keep my hands to myself.
When he ever said he could make his next start, I'm like, you've got to be kidding me.
This guy.
Of course he's going to make his next start. You need any more evidence that he didn't want to pitch in the Yankees series?
No, he's not. He ain't making his next start. There's no chance.
Watch.
He's going to come down.
Watch.
They're going to fly his ass to New York. They're going to go to Toronto. He's going to look at his hands, and all the little giddy beat writers are going to... Pete Abraham's going to be, ooh, he's throwing hard in the outfield. Look at him. They're going to get all excited. Yeah, keep it up. Keep it up. He's going to tap out of this one, too, because he knows it looks bad if he makes his next start.
We were here yesterday talking about,
optics.
Is there an issue with the elbow?
Optics.
Is there a real circulation problem? Is there going to be maybe some surgery here? Are they going to shut him down? No, mild carpal tunnel. We'll see you maybe his next start. What?
Did they actually ask?
That's what kept him out of the series?
Did they actually ask the actual manager of the Boston Red Sox about video
games?
They
had to. Didn't they have to?
Yeah.
Here it is.
I can't believe we're here.
Carpal tunnel is not an uncommon injury for esports athletes, people playing video games. We did a story talking to David Price. He says he is playing Fortnite more this season. Is that at all a concern? And would you consider asking him to ease up on the playing of video games following this diagnosis?
When he comes here tomorrow, we'll talk about it. And we'll talk with Brad and see where we at. For what I know, David has played video games his whole life. You know, it seems like Fortnite now is the one everybody's playing, but last year I saw a lot of guys playing FIFA, you know, and that's a lot of, you know, a lot of playing too. So there's a lot of teens playing Fortnite too.
Okay.
We'll talk about it tomorrow.
Okay.
You're fighting with the Yankees for first place, and this is what you're answering questions.
If your guy has carpal tunnel and has been diagnosed with that,
pull the plug.
That's a guy who you say, you can't play video games anymore, jackass. You've got to quit your video game habit. No, this is not up for discussion. Quit. Don't play it anymore.
You got a guy coming in here at 53
minutes. But he didn't
deny it. Hold on. Didn't deny what?
He didn't say that could have been a part of this problem.
No, but he downplayed it like you wouldn't believe. Oh, he's been playing video games his entire life.
Yeah.
Like, okay, great. Well, now he has carpal tunnel. Did he have carpal tunnel his entire life?
No, I thought he had that other thing he was complaining about he's had since he was a teenager.
Because now he has an injury that's been diagnosed by doctors that you approve of.
Because he's in his 30s.
That could absolutely be worsened by that activity. So why would you let him keep doing that? Guys play FIFA. What does that have to do with anything?
We got a guy coming in here 53 minutes by the name of Dan Shaughnessy.
I thought it was a terrible answer. I thought he was just sucking up to the players.
Whether you're Shaughnessy or whether you're anybody else, invest time. The guys like Bradford, you name it, Abraham, you covered his team. You're walking in that clubhouse. What's the first thing you're looking for when you walk in that clubhouse now? I'm looking for consoles. I'm looking for plugs. I'm looking for gaming consoles. Alex Cora's got to take him out. You can't now allow this. I mean, we're in the middle of a pennant race here. You're up against the Yankees who are on fire.
I would say.
And now you're going to worry about taking your little video games out? This is what this clown has brought into your clubhouse. Here's your leader. I hope Eck is on the game on Saturday. I need Eck. I need full. All systems go.
You've got to tell the $217 million contract pitcher.
Start studying batters. Do your homework.
That he can't play video games because it's going to be a detriment to his pitching health.
Jim's hitting it with it's a pretty good day for Jim on the sounder.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Not bad, Jim.
Not bad, Jim. Good work.
Did you hear Shaughnessy poking more and more, and they talked about, you know, the struggles he had in Texas, and you end up finding out that they sent his ass home because he had bad allergies?
Allergies. This guy can't.
Mr. Softy.
Oh, and by the way, don't let this get lost in all of this.
Allergies.
Did you hear the part?
Hey, Jim, how have you felt
that
the last
month? It's not a circulation problem?
Yeah.
So wait, what happened to the circulation problem that he's had his whole life?
Could you imagine
now that's just not a thing anymore?
Could you imagine being a...
Well, wait. Cora said he's been playing video games his whole life. So if you tied two and two together. No?
So here's what I also would like to know. When David Price avoided that question from Chris Mason about what is it that you they actually said you had? Did you have Raynaud's disease?
Yeah, the stuff people call us on Raynaud's.
Because he did an interview that in which he said he asked him that. He was on EEI and was asked about that. Yep. And a terrible interview, by the way. But the former intern.
We had him on as intern.
I mean, you guys can take the credit for his career, but don't have him on as guest.
But then I nickname him. I like that kid. He drew pictures of Hardy in a mid-Hardy.
He said he asked him straight up. He said, did you get diagnosed with Raynaud's? And he said, they used a lot of big words that I don't remember.
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
Did they use
misremembered.
Big words?
I misremembered.
That's a fuzzy diagnosis you got there. This guy's just so full of it, man. He's so full of crap. Always
is it breakpoint for you to where now it's just it's
breakpoint? I've been out on David Price for years.
You years. People keep going to ballpark. Keep cheering him on.
I was out on
keep
David Price on. At the first mention that he could be signed.
What a
here.
Loser!
Just ask Jared Karabas.
What a loser!
Just ask him.
Karabas is even out on a guy. He like doesn't even want anything to do with him. That says it all. Mr. Footy slides and his socks.
What if he gets a big win, say, in Game 3 of the postseason? Will you do
terrific. I hope he opts out.
A 180
yeah, he'll
on
be
David
here.
Price
I hope he
then,
opts
like
out.
You did with the Celtics?
Nope. I will never do a 180 on this guy. Mm. No way. Opt out. I hope he comes back
Go
and is
away.
Great. Gets his mind clear. Great. Does whatever he needs to do.
Oh, yeah.
Just to get him out of here. And of course, you mentioned carpal tunnel, and now you have all these calls of people on our board saying
love these people. These are our people.
Can you relate to David Price having carpal tunnel?
Well, yes and no. So I have carpal tunnel from years of guitar playing. I took music in college and used to do it like semi-professional, play in the studio and stuff like that. But I didn't really have any numbness. It was more just pain. And when I had it, my doctor said, what you got to do is you just got to take a break. And, you know, he put a splint on my wrist and I stopped playing guitar for a couple months and was able to pick it back up again. So I don't know. I mean, he's going to have to stop playing video games if this is where it's from, because that's the only way to get rid of the carpal tunnel. Because if you keep going with that motion, it's going to keep up.
It's a no-brainer. Quit your video games. You can't play anymore.
Yeah.
That's it. Those are done.
Easy thing. No more video games in Clubhouse, guys.
Hand over your special Xbox backpack. You're done.
There's some stuff, too, where it's like that guy said, I remember, like years ago, Ken Casey from the Dropkicks, and he's a bass player, right? But he's a golfer. And he was like, he's trying to do both. He's like, I'm getting some weird feeling in here, and I don't know if it's from the repetitive motion of playing bass or it's from golf. But if it came down to it, as much as he loved to golf, he would stop. He would have stopped if it meant he couldn't play bass anymore, because that's what you do. And, you know, maybe I'm biased on this one, but I think that's a slightly more, I guess, enviable pursuit.
Hey, if we're
to be
gonna
out
get
on a golf course and play, then sit around playing video games, it doesn't seem like that big of a sacrifice, is what I'm saying, if David Price is told to give it up.
If we're going to give him the benefit of the doubt that he doesn't deserve, maybe David Price wasn't aware that his video game playing was causing this, and today he comes out and says, oh, I'm not doing that anymore. I didn't realize that was a problem.
Right.
I'll never play them again.
Remember Joel Zamaya, the Tigers?
Yeah, he got ruined by Guitar Hero.
Guitar Hero.
Yeah. Guitar Hero ruined
him. It ruined his career.
Ruined his whole career.
Doing high 90s, guy.
And then he played too much Guitar Hero and he was out. His career fell apart. So maybe he comes out today and says, you know what, guys? No more video games for me. I didn't realize that was causing me these problems. I won't play them anymore. But something tells me that knowing David Price, we'll hear more about FIFA and I've been playing video games my whole life, like that nonsensical answer that the manager gave yesterday. Honeymoon is over for Cora, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Over. 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 Sean Grandy, voice of the Celtics, will join us next.
Making your job suck just a little bit less.
You think they have a big hole?
I think they have a big hole.
Zulak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Smart tried to miss it on purpose, and he made it. It rattled in. So the Sixers are going to get a look here. Down by two with 2.4 to go here at the end of Game 5. Simmons holding it. Long touchdown pass. Knocked away. Picked off by Marcus Smart. He fires the ball into the air. It crashes to the ground as the Philadelphia 76ers season comes to an end. An instant classic of a series in a rivalry renewed, and the Boston Celtics have survived. The Boston Celtics are back in the Eastern Conference Finals. Brad Stevens goes to the Final Four, loses Gordon Hayward, and somehow gets back to the Final Four. Stop me if you've heard that before.
All right, 11:20, Zolak and Bertrand. Time now to talk to the voice of the Celtics, one and only Sean Grandy. Does the games with Cedric Maxwell right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Boy, yeah, you get a couple days off now. Do you got Bellator or anything you got to do before King James comes to town?
It's like an actual, real day off. No flight. I don't have to, you know, you guys like it when I check the weather before flights. So I don't have to do that today.
Yeah.
It's like a clear, wide open day to talk about the Celtics in Cleveland, exactly what we thought 7 months ago.
It's a big series wrap up for Stevens, right, Brad? I mean, Brad. I mean, Sean. I mean, you look at what this guy's done with what he's been given. We've talked to you all year about this. But now you got 4 days to sit back, watch some film, and see what he's going to devise defensively to do what I think nobody has done yet, and that's slow down LeBron.
Isn't it funny? I think after they went up 3-0, both teams were up 3-0, you know, I tweeted what obviously is going to be the theme here, which is people are going to make this about Brad Stevens versus LeBron. There's no way to avoid this storyline.
That's a story.
Ridiculous year of accomplishment for the Celtics because the Celtics don't have that, you know, that signature star that grabs you. So everybody sort of gravitated to this story that it's going to be about what Brad Stevens does. And, you know, I guess I get it. It makes all the sense in the world. And I just love the fact that what looks on paper, the NBA, we talked about this before, is probably the most predictable of the four major sports. As you can kind of get a feel for what's going to happen. Look at the Western Conference, how that played out exactly the way we thought it would from opening night going into the Western Conference Finals. And yet, the beauty of the Celtics team among many is that, of course, on paper, the Cavs have LeBron. Of course, they're heavy favorites. So are the Sixers. We just have no earthly idea how this is going to play out, and that's beautiful.
Do you feel better about the Celtics going into this matchup with LeBron now, or did you feel better about it a year ago going into this same matchup?
Well, remember last year, Isaiah's hurt, and you had built the entire, you know, I think history now, we've got enough distance from it to be able to see that that team was built around Isaiah. It was built with Isaiah as the centerpiece, and you had to play a certain way. And once Isaiah was pulled out of that, obviously, you had an epic beatdown in that, you know, the Celtics even came from 21 down just to win the one game they were in. So I think you have to feel better because the Cavs aren't. Remember, the Cavs had Kyrie.
Yeah.
The Cavs don't have Kyrie either.
I know.
So, you know, this team isn't that good. And it's, you know, here we're talking about Brad Stevens and this extraordinary story and a team that the fans have adopted, you know, like in a legacy of championship teams. This team, no matter what happens, is going to have a very special place. But if that's what we're talking about in New England, in the big picture, 2 or 3 months ago, the general conversation is no way Cleveland gets to the finals with this team. And subset, if LeBron James can get this Cleveland team to the finals, then that conversation about best ever moves to the next level. And yet here he is, heavily favored now to get this Cleveland team, which nobody thought could get there, to get back there again.
Sean, what the hell was wrong with Marcus Morris last night?
He's in a rough playoff, Shane. I think the frustration was starting to get to him a little bit. I mean, he shot the ball. He's how many big fourth quarters, how many big shots, how many don't worry about it, I got this moments, as Marcus Morris had. And I think you add that to the list of things that the Celtics have overcome here, that here they are in the conference finals with Marcus Morris not shooting the ball well. He's due for some big games. You know, we went into last night, Max and I said, Marcus Morris and Marcus Smart are the key guys here in Game 5 against Philadelphia. If they can do anything at all, the Celtics will find a way to get through. Marcus Morris still didn't shoot the ball well, and here he is having shot, I think, about 30% from inside the three-point line after shooting 46% during the regular year, and the Celtics are there anyway. So I think it's one of those things you put on the positive side, that they've survived this long without that.
Talking to Sean Grandy, voice of the Celtics. Celtics moving on to the Eastern Conference Finals. Do you continue to be impressed by the two young stars on this team, Brown and Tatum, and what they continue to show as we get deeper into the playoffs?
I think history will record when we look back years from now, and we're creating this extraordinary underdog story, right? It's an amazing thing the Celtics have done. 5 years from now, 10 years from now, we're going to look back and say, you know, when Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum have probably been multiple-time All-Stars, and you're going to look back at 2018 and go, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown were on that team. So that wasn't this crazy super underdog team. This wasn't the 0-2 Celtics that got to the conference finals. I mean, can anybody run through that roster? after Paul Pierce and Antoine Walker in 2002 that had a 2-1 lead, by the way, in the conference finals. So I think you just don't appreciate it, at the time, because Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons have had so much attention for so long. You think of them as the two best young players. Giannis is Giannis. And I think, Jason Tatum is going to finish third probably in the Rookie of the Year voting, and yet who would you rather have right now? Yeah. I think Jason Tatum's year has actually overshadowed Jaylen Brown's year, because Jaylen Brown, he's not a rookie. He's not yet considered a star in the league, but he's 21 years old. And it's like we say, the best player wins the series. Well, they beat Milwaukee with Giannis. They beat Philadelphia with Joel Embiid. And we don't look at Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum yet as being players that they already are.
Sean, brought you into the conversation talking about Brad Stevens has a couple days to drop some defensive scheme to slow LeBron down. Who draws the short straw in Cuckoo Bird here? Like who?
I think it's going to be, look at the Celtics all year. It's going to be everybody. He's going to see everybody at some point. He's going to see Jaylen Brown. He's going to see Jason Tatum. He's going to see some of Al Horford. Remember, the Cavs play very small for the most part, and they have another thing that makes this series very difficult to forecast is that the regular season games largely mean nothing, especially the first two, because that might as well have been 3 years ago, the way the teams lined up on opening night. You had Gordon Hayward. Isaiah Thomas was going to be a big part of what Cleveland did. You have the game where you saw some of this right before the All-Star break when the Cavs blew them out, but that was they're playing differently now. They play differently in the second round than they did in the first. So to me, it's about, Kevin Love and Kyle Korver are playing very, very well together. So you can obviously, I think, do more than Toronto did against LeBron to force him to get the ball up, especially in those late game situations. But, where does Korver shoot the ball better than J.J. Redick did? Redick missed a lot of open threes in the series. Is Korver going to miss those shots? And remember, you haven't really seen Kevin Love healthy yet. So that's why Cleveland played so well against Toronto, is that those two guys have kind of clicked with George Hill in the starting lineup.
What did you make of Brett Brown's performance now that the series is over? What do you think of him as a head coach?
I love Brett Brown as a head coach. I'm really glad they stuck with him. I think you have to understand that Brad Stevens and I have talked a lot this year about what he learned in his first year, 13-14, when the Celtics lost all those games, how difficult it was to go through that. Well, Brett Brown just did that. He did 4 years of that, not one, with this team, and stuck with these guys and learned with them. Talk to Brad Stevens, talk to the coaches that coached against him about how difficult their offense is to guard. That said, the first time you go through this, learning curve for everybody. And Brett Brown, I think it's fair he's got to answer to that timeout stuff. He didn't react enough in game 2 and probably overreacted last night on the road using all those timeouts. There's always things you can nitpick about everybody's performance. But I think Brett Brown, it was a rookie head coach in the playoffs too, with a very young team to manage.
The home crowd, we keep saying, and we talked to Brad Stevens this week, and he says, I never heard the crowd like it was in the previous home game. It's always after the big game. And then you hear the young Sixers talking about, the crowd talks a lot of smack. Is Cleveland really going to come in here and get intimidated? But can you use this home crowd as an advantage against this Cleveland team, or no?
I think it's going to be less of an advantage. I mean, at the end of the day, it's the guy on the
other side. It helps, though. It gives you energy.
Of course it helps. It's been 23 years of that building, and think about, the Celtics have won a championship, okay? They've had Hall of Famers on this team. You've had wild, raucous nights. Maybe, I don't really have a theory as to why the building has probably been louder than the last two home games than we've heard it for the 23 years that it's been open. Maybe, if we look back at it, maybe that 08 team, that new Big 3 team, had a lot of those, the kind of the high roller, hot new restaurant people coming to the games, and maybe they weren't as loud, and maybe this is more of a true Celtic fan group that's made the building. I'm literally just thinking of this as I'm saying it, to try to come up with an idea as to why it has been louder, because it has. Everybody who's been in that building for the last two games has been saying, this is as loud as I've ever heard this building. Is it a factor? Of course it's a factor. The Celtics should not have won that game last night. You look at how it played out. It was an amazing, gutty performance by the Sixers to get back in it. I'm still not sure how it happened at the end. Is the crowd a factor? Is human nature a factor? Of course it is.
All right, Sean, appreciate the time. We'll talk next week.
Have fun.
Guys.
Sean Grandy joining us here on Zolak and Bertrand. Hardy will have our headlines.
Can we get back to Poopy Pants?
We'll get back to David Price if you'd like. Back to your Celtics calls.
I'm going
to
take some Claritin stuff. I've got allergies are kicking up a little bit in here.
Let's get back to your calls, and also a mention of a story related to a former Patriots coach. That would be Matt Patricia. You laugh. Why are you laughing?
I'm laughing. Go ahead. Throw out the break.
Okay.
You're doing good.
I don't know what you're laughing about, but that story worth a mention as well. Here's Hardy.
Sports Hub headlines.
Celtics got the win over the Sixers last night in Game 5. 114-112. A Game 5 victory means the Celtics are on to the Eastern Conference Finals to take on the Cleveland Cavaliers. Marcus Smart playing with a bunch of young guys.
It's a sight to see. You know, those guys, they've been thrown in the fire early, and, you know, they responded very well and exceeded probably, you know, expectations that the guys have for this team and us. And, you know, they only keep getting better.
Game 1 of the conference finals between the Celtics and Cavaliers happens Sunday afternoon, 3:30 p.m. Red Sox and Yankees play the third of their three-game series tonight in New York. Red Sox trying to avoid the three-game sweep after they lost 9-6 last night. Tonight, Eduardo Rodriguez gets the start for the visitors. CC Sabathia takes the mound at 7:05 for the Yankees. David Price diagnosed with a mild case of carpal tunnel syndrome. Sent back to Boston a couple of days ago, scheduled to throw a bullpen session today. Headlines are brought to you by Core Golf Driving Range and Practice Center in Natick. Practice every shot in your bag. Drop by on your lunch break or after work and hit a bucket under the lights until 8 p.m. Core Golf, KOHRGolf.com. I'm Hardy on Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Zulak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
The telephone number. A story that is big today in Detroit involves the head coach of the Detroit Lions, Matt Patricia. Detroit News put out a story about Matt Patricia being indicted, yet not tried, in a sex assault case going back to 1996.
Jesus.
In Texas. Spring break, 96, South Padre Island. But a 21-year-old college student who is involved with both Matt Patricia and a friend of Matt Patricia, Greg Dietrich. Patricia was 21 at the time. Dietrich was 22. They were charged, according to his story. At that time, they were charged with sexual assault. They were charged with rape, and they were then indicted. And then the person, the victim in this case, decided not to show up for court.
Yep.
And so now the Lions are sort of scrambling to figure out what to say.
Yeah.
Story's up on DetroitNews.com if you want to sort it out. What do you think happens to him in his job as standing with the team? They seem to be standing behind him.
I mean, if this happens 3 years ago, I think there's issues and he gets fired immediately. I think this is a kid in college who was on spring break. And how many of these incidents you think go unreported at spring breaks?
This didn't go. I mean, it didn't go unreported.
I know, but I'm saying
they were arrested. They were indicted.
Millions of these type of incidents that don't go reported, and she reported it at that time. We don't have much details from it, right? It's
very
an accusation. It's he said versus she said. And that's what it is, and that's the out for the Detroit Lions and the timing of it. Not to say the timing is anything, whether it happens a year ago, 3 years ago, or 25 years ago.
On the evening of March 15th, 1996, the woman told police that two men burst into her upscale hotel room where she was sleeping. I'm reading from the story on Detroit News.
It's a nice hotel. You see the pictures of it.
And took turns violently sexually assaulting her, according to court records and a news account at the time. They were arrested, charged, and later indicted by a grand jury on one count of aggravated sexual assault, but they never stood trial and were not convicted. One of the indicted men was 21-year-old Matt Patricia. He denies it. His lawyer denies it. Or he denies it through his lawyer, right. I should say. But that he did not stand trial. The person who made the complaint would not show up for court, did not want to go through the stress of a trial, did not want to deal with any of it, according to the county assistant district attorney. In 1997, filed the motion to dismiss the case based on, quote, victim does not feel she could face the pressure or stress of a trial. So it was dismissed.
Yeah.
Who knows? Could be a bogus.
See, I would not see, not to say that that means anything because it happened so long ago, but you see the headline this morning, Detroit Lions, Matt Patricia accused of sexual misconduct. I'm like, oh my God, what the hell is this? And then you go and you start reading it, and okay, this happened when he was a 21-year-old kid in college. And not to say that that's right, but for anybody that's been on spring break, you know what goes on spring break. I mean, I got a daughter that's 18. She's going to school next year. I don't want her going anywhere on spring break. I don't want her to go on spring break. But you know they're going to end up going. Yeah, see, I'm Matt. I've known Matt forever. And not just because you think you know a guy. I knew Jerry Sandusky forever. Never once thought any of that stuff was going on at Penn State that ended up going on with him. He played smart guy football, upstate New York, this technical school. Guy knows how to build robots, aeronautics, you name it with this guy. One of the smartest guys you've ever been around. He and a buddy obviously went into a room. And it's he said versus she said. I mean, I don't know what more we could talk about from what happened. But she didn't show up, and it was dismissed. So if you're the Lions, and you're Bob Quinn, and you've been around this guy, you know what you're getting with this guy. Now, how do you sell it to ownership? Is ownership sold on it? Did they do enough of a thorough, in-depth process when I hired them? Did they know that this was in the past, that potentially this could eventually maybe come up? Because it's always on somebody's record. Did you know about this? If you didn't,
the team said that in their background check, they did not know about it because they only searched for convictions. Yeah. So they were not.
So then they're already telling you right there what they pass people on and what they don't.
The NFL
Patriots hired him 8 years later. You think they knew about it?
I don't know. How would they?
Maybe they're only looking for convictions, Jim. I don't know.
NFL has put out a statement today saying that we will review the matter with the club to understand the allegations and what the club has learned. That's what they're saying.
Club's going to learn what you learned or I learned by reading what's there and documents. And
so this reporter from the Detroit News tried to reach out repeatedly to the victim.
Yeah.
And that person was not willing to reply, did not respond to any requests. I would say that if we don't hear from the victim, nothing's going to happen to Matt Patricia.
Correct.
He'll keep coaching.
Right.
There will be no finding of any sort. What else is there to find? They talked to...
But we know what day and age.
They discarded the original police report because it was so
after
old.
After 10 years. Right, yeah. After 10
Statute
years.
Statute limitations.
However, the Detroit News questioned a lot of different people who have zero recollection of the case. People that were working in the criminal justice system at the time. And we're talking police, district attorneys. Yeah. Nobody remembers it. They don't remember the case. So it didn't stand out in their mind for any reason.
Yeah, the saddest part of these two is they probably had so many of these over the years and years of, you know, the places where these spring breaks take place. These college kids go down there and they lose their mind. It's like 7 days of debauchery, free.
It says,
go down, get drunk, and do whatever you want, and come back to school and study.
Many details of the alleged attack are unclear. The police report was discarded. Several figures involved, so they could not recall the case. Not the police chief, lieutenant, grand jury forewoman, prosecutor, assistant prosecutor, or defense attorneys. Cameron County District Attorney Luis Sainez, also the district attorney at the time of the indictment, says he does not recall the case. Happened in 1996. That's 22 years ago. My guess is they've dealt with a lot of cases since that this one didn't
stick out.
Like, it never made it to a trial.
There's something there. Please show up for this trial, you know? Like, you think you got somebody on something.
So they had a pre-planned press conference for Patricia today.
Yeah.
Just happened to be at Lions camp. So he's going to speak in a couple minutes. So we'll maybe get something out of what he says.
Okay. I'm curious
we'll
to know what he says. And I'm telling you, if we don't hear from the victim, if no one gets in touch with her to get a statement or an interview or something, then nothing will come
right
of this.
I'm sure we'll see Matt this year.
If she decides to speak at some point, that would be interesting, to say the least, whether it be that she...
He would have to respond to whatever she would speak to.
Believes that it was legitimate, and she backs up everything that she claimed at the time, or otherwise. So, that's the story in Detroit today. 617-779-0985, the phone number. Why don't we get back to your calls on all of this? Matt Patricia.
David Poopoo.
The Celtics. David Price. Shaughnessy joins us in 15 minutes.
I'm going to King Arthur, the Knights of the Round Table.
Could this head injury have been caused by a fall?
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
A lot of hand songs for David Price today.
Play the hits, John.
617-779-0985. Jamie and Rainham up next here on Zolak and Bertrand. Jamie.
What's up, Zol?
What's up, Jamie?
Hey.
What's going on, guys? Yeah, I was just calling about Price. I had surgery for carpal tunnel and a minor Tommy John surgery. I had severe pain from the elbow down to the hand with complete numbness. Like, there's no way I could grip a ball.
Oh, yeah.
Were you an athlete?
Work-related? What was it?
Well, I don't know what you consider an athlete. I played some baseball. I went to the best junior college, Master Sawyer, and played baseball there.
I mean, it's not normal. Everybody calls and say, hey, I had Tommy John surgery. Yep. Yeah.
You know, yeah. So, you know, I actually got an infection from it. It was, So it wasn't the best thing, but I feel great now. So, but he has a minor stuff, and it's the pain level is very low on that. So I don't understand how a major athlete like that could.
Are you kidding me?
Well, he's not claiming pain. He's not claiming pain.
He got sent home for sniffles.
Numbness. He got sent home for allergies.
Allergies sent him home from the Texas series, from the big bag Texas Rangers. Okay.
He has not said he's in pain. So that's not something he has claimed at any point.
It's the coldness
and
the tingling.
Let's just stick to the facts on it, okay?
There is a mentality
that Hardy and I like to employ in our wiffle ball games.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I was waiting for that, Jim. Thank you.
Mentality. Troy in Dorchester. Hi, Troy.
How are you doing today, guys?
Good. Yeah.
Can we just call David Price Poo Poo Price from now on?
Sure. So we're doing. Poo Poo Price.
All right. So Poo Poo. Is there anybody on any team, if they called and asked for that swap, would you not take? Because I'm ready to take him for a pair of old socks.
He wants to swap him for something.
Oh, you want to trade him away, yeah. Troy? Your phone is a problem today.
What lunatic GM's going to call and say, hey, we'll take his contract.
Nobody
wants
that.
Nobody.
No, nobody.
You're going to have to eat money.
You're stuck with him. You're stuck with him. Stanley and Taunton on the Celtics. Hi, Stanley.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hi.
All right, guys.
All right.
This has been bothering me since last year. Okay. I understand this may be somewhat irrelevant. All right, you know how like they sometimes use video games as simulations on who wins this award or this and that, who wins the finals and whatnot?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, last year, it had Steve Kerr, even though he didn't coach most of the year, and I understand it's a video game, and then he won it, correct, last year?
Did he? I don't know. I don't remember because these awards are meaningless.
Yeah. I think he did.
You know what he won last year? The NBA Finals. That's what I remember about Steve Kerr last year.
Seems like he won last year, and we talked about it because he wasn't there coaching for a lot of last year.
Yeah, did he like turn it over and let them coach too? Was there games where he like, you know, you coach.
You call this one. Go ahead.
Nobody remembers who won Coach of the Year. Nobody. You might remember an MVP. You don't remember who won Coach of the Year.
Steve Kerr in 15-16, Mike D'Antoni in 16-17.
Okay. Mike D'Antoni, overrated. Jeff in New Hampshire. Hey, Jeff.
What's going on, guys? I just wanted to touch upon the fact that you guys talked about how last year the Celtics were in trouble, being that Isaiah Thomas was a focal point of their offense. I think the other side that we need to look at it is the defensive side of the ball. I mean, Isaiah, they knew last year, the two games that he played, they knew it's a mismatch every rip on the other end.
Yep.
They're going to post him up. They're going to go right at him every possession. He's just an automatic mismatch. That's something that this Celtics team doesn't have. They're not all phenomenal defenders, but they can respectfully all guard their position. We got some length on the wings. We got some people that can compete a little better. Jay Crowder, the other person, one of probably the most overrated defenders I've ever heard about. He was good his first year. He was terrible after that.
But your point about Isaiah is where you should stick to there, Jeff, and that is the defensive liability that he was is now not on the floor.
And it's interesting, too, to what Danny ultimately would want this team to be, right? Have a lot of big athletes that could dribble, shoot the Al Horford types. Is he 5 or 4?
You want to go to Detroit? Matt Patricia speaking.
Yes, sir.
Let's do that. We can cue it up and go. Here we go.
To defend my honor and clear my name.
Here we go.
22 years ago, I was falsely accused of something very serious allegations. There were claims made about me that never happened. While I'm thankful on one level that the process worked and the case was dismissed, at the same time, I was never given the opportunity to defend myself or to allow to push back with the truth to clear my name. This was something that was very traumatic to me when I was 21 years old. And once it was finally addressed, I tried to put it behind me. For those of you that are just getting to know me, and for those that have known me for a long time, you should know that I was raised the right way by two amazing parents who taught me to know the difference between right and wrong, to stand up for what's right, and to stand up for those who've been wronged. I have two older sisters that taught me respect and love. I have always tried to protect them and keep them from harm. I'm a husband and a father to a wonderful and amazing family. I try to share those same values with them. I am so thankful to my wife and my family for being supportive of me. I believe and have always acted with a respect for all people, knowing that everyone is someone's dad, mom, sister, brother, son, or daughter. I do not condone any of the type of behavior that has been alleged, and I never have. I have always been someone who respects and protects the rights of anyone who has been harassed or is the victim of violence, and we as an organization will continue to operate that way. In these times, we need to be even more sensitive and responsible in dealing with these issues and separate right from wrong. Thankfully, truth is on my side. I lived with the mental torture of a situation where facts can be completely ignored or misrepresented with disregard to the consequence and pain that it would create for another person. I find it unfair and upsetting that someone would bring this claim up over two decades later for the sole purpose of hurting my family, my friends, and this organization, with the intention of trying to damage my character and credibility. I was innocent then, and I am innocent now. Let me be clear. My priorities remain the same, to move forward and strive to be the best coach, teacher, and man that I can possibly be.
Now, with the Me Too movement, how could you not think this would resurface?
You know, like I said, I started interviewing for jobs 22 years ago in a time where 1 year after this incident happened, where I interviewed and these situations never came up, were never asked, and it was never an issue. So through the course of my career, as again, like I said, the case was dismissed and I am innocent. So as I went through those times, it was never been an issue.
What happened the night in question? The allegations are alleged. What happened that day?
Again, I think what's important here, what happened 22 years ago, is what didn't happen. As I said, I was innocent then, and I am innocent now. I was falsely accused of something that I did not do.
There was a grand jury indictment. Can you explain why you actually were indicted, even though charges were dropped?
Again, I was accused of something that I did not do. I went through the process and the case was dismissed.
Were you in the room with the girl? Was there consensual sex? Was there anything going on between you?
Again, I did nothing wrong. And that's all I'm going to say on that matter.
Do you regret not disclosing this to the Detroit Lions? Is this something you've ever disclosed to an employee?
Like I said before, you know, I've interviewed for a lot of jobs. And again, interviewing for jobs in engineering right after the situation happened, it was never an issue. It was never came up as anything because it was dismissed and I was innocent. So it just has never been part of any process that I've been involved with before.
That is Matt Patricia, head coach of the Lions, currently conducting a press conference as he's the head coach of the Lions and had a previously scheduled press conference today. He used the opportunity to strongly deny allegations of a sexual assault that he was accused of in 1996 in Texas. A very strong denial. Says he is innocent, was innocent then, he is innocent now. Matt Patricia.
It's better than not talking about it. I mean, there's people that deflect it, don't address it.
Oh, you couldn't not. He couldn't come out today and then not address it.
Oh, God. But please, he did an entire hour and a half press conference, and there was not one Malcolm Butler question. So, I mean, it's not like they have the best reporters out there in Detroit. Not one question when he was hired about Malcolm Butler not playing in a Super Bowl.
Okay.
Not a single one. We waited.
The news reporters in Detroit obviously are doing their job. I mean, they dug this
up. Well, these
up
ones, yeah. Well, you got a different set here. They doesn't seem like these are sports ones. Yeah.
And I don't think that...
It sounds like the Patriots never even asked them about it.
They may not have known about it. As we just mentioned, they may have had zero idea that this happened, the same way the Lions may not have known.
And even said, hey, I've interviewed for numerous jobs, and this never ever came up.
617-779-0985. Dan Shaughnessy standing by and ready to join us in 90 seconds.